You know, we want to pray right now for all of the moms, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers. And if there's a great-great, I don't even know how many greats are alive today. But let's just pray together and ask Him to touch them in a very special way today. Father, I thank You that You created moms, dads. I thank You that, Father, You placed Your love in us. And for moms today, we ask that You would heal them physically, that You would touch them, that, Father, hope would always stay strong, and if it's gone, You would rise up again, that, Father, they would be touched by peace, that today they would feel the joy of the Lord as their strength. And Father, as a church, we just pray for our moms, our grandmothers, and our great-grandmothers. We ask You, Father, to touch them in a powerful way and help us as a family here at Springs, Lord, to raise up great families, great children, great generations for You. Today, we speak Your peace upon them. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when you think about family and moms and grandmothers, today I want to talk about looking for love. I want to talk about, and I want to dive a little bit deeper into this topic of love rather than sometimes we just talk about it in a very shallow way. Did you know that the highest pleasure in the world is to know that you are loved unconditionally, to accept that, and to be able to love back? That dynamic is incredible. It's phenomenal. And every addict, every person that is going through some pleasure, they're trying to find this deep sense of pleasure, this deep sense of joy, this deep sense of love, this deep sense of significance, this deep sense of I'm special. And God's designed every one of us to need, to desire this. People, internally, they give up on love, this kind of love, and they begin to settle for, you know, being realistic. They begin to look for whatever pleasures they can get out of life because there's just no way to experience this kind of love. Because no one can love as perfectly as Jesus. Only He can heal broken hearts. Only He can help us to experience this flooding of our hearts, our emotions, our minds with love. You know, in our relationships between a married couple, between a parent and children, anytime you try to get them to show you love by forcing them, manipulating them, by guilting them to do it, it never satisfies that deep down longing for love, this unconditional love, because you know deep down inside you had to manipulate that. You had to ask. You had to do something to cause that person to give you the kind of love that you want. And I want to challenge you today because we're going to go through one of the greatest keys that when believers get this part figured out, everything else becomes easier when you understand how God has wired us and how He has designed us. You know, moms are pretty incredible. As a paramedic on the field and seeing some of the most horrific things where people are dying in front of me, and I've seen so many die in front of me, going into jails and dealing with men and counseling with men there that have nothing left to live for. But I've heard people in the midst of the worst despair, full-grown men, cry out for their mom. You think, what? Because it's the last time they knew in their minds in this God-forsaken world that somebody loved me without having to earn it. Someone loved me the way I was. To not believe and experience God's love is to make every other person in your world responsible for it. It causes you to become judgmental. It causes you to begin to expect them to meet a consistent area of love that only God can meet. And in this judgment and in this looking for it through people, you begin to push away. You begin to doubt that people love you because deep inside you, you don't feel lovely. We know that in counseling with people that so many, when you really get down to the deepest level of how they're feeling and how they're walking through life, there's a guilt, there's a condemnation that is there that makes them realize that I'm not perfect, I'm so flawed, people aren't gonna love me. And if you do not believe and know the love of God, when someone reaches out to love you, you will reject that love inside. You will be sure in your own head that that's a phony, that they're just in it for something else, and you doubt anyone else's ability to love you until you are established in the love of God. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6, that all the things you could do on the external mean nothing until you understand that your faith life as a believer, it works through love. You cannot believe and trust in a God that you cannot believe He loves you. And so much of the Christian message today is harsh and it's judgmental, and it comes at people in a way that even if they believe and give their lives to God because they're afraid of hell, they're afraid of the punishment, they don't realize that the gospel is a love message. In John 3:16, I memorized this at the youngest age. It was like the very first verse that my mom and dad taught me to memorize. And so many of you know it. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God loved you as worldly as you were. God loved you as faulty, as double-minded, as sin-filled, as egotistical, as proud, as arrogant that we all were. God loved us. And even in that state, He sent His Son to die for us. This is a love message. Now, we hear this preached all through the church world, but then we have all of these little addendums. Yes, but God will allow a tornado in to teach you something. God will allow sickness in because you need to learn and He knows better. God might take a child. God might take your spouse. God might bankrupt your business. He's going to come at you, but it's all for your good. And we create these crazy sovereignty of God doctrines where people can't trust God. And we literally have created doctrines in the Christian church that when people come, it scares them. As a young man, I remember someone coming into our church and speaking, and he preached this message about how your life is going to be formed and how you're going to grow and be strong because of all the junk that comes at you, that hey, if you want to do great things for God, you're going to have to suffer greatly. He preached that message. He said, if you want to be awesome and in love with God, you're going to have to suffer. And he took this message and he rammed it home. It so impacted me that today I can still see his face. And I remember the fear that gripped me as I thought, well, I want to do great things for God. I want to rise up and love Him and know Him. But if the only way is to suffer. And so from that point on in my life, I began to kind of hold God off, and I would kind of sort through how much I let God come in and how much I didn't let Him come in. Because you never know if I really want to know more of God, I would never pray the prayer, Lord, you know, just have Your way in my life. Because, oh man, according to this guy, that meant, okay, I'm glad you said that, because you know, you're another Job. And they would take that story way out of context. And so you're going to deal with this, and God is allowing this. And even the pastors and those that struggle with this, or that teach this doctrine, they won't answer the question. Well, if you think God is allowing this sickness, why in the world go to a doctor? Why in the world take any medication for it? Why even look for help if the God of the universe is letting you be sick and allowing this, or however you believe it? But it has caused people to distrust God. It has caused people to say, your Christian God, I don't know about Him. I mean, you got guys say that he's got the whole world in his hands and that he's a God of love. Well, look at this messed up world. Look at the millions of children dying. Look at the horrid rapes and murders and the sick things people do to each other. There's evil out there. So if God's in control, he is one sick puppy, is exactly what these people tell me. And so when I begin to understand the love of God, that no, that's not, that we can't, I don't have time to dive into this entire area of why on the planet, because it has to do with authority. It has to do with who has the power to stop it. But today I want to focus on God's love. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, 15 to 21, it says, we love him because. Now this is a crucial verse, because you think you can learn to love God for all these other reasons, but the reason you can love God is to believe and to know he first loved you. He found you the way you were. He saw you the way you were. He knew the way you were. He still knows the way you are. He knows what goes on in your head. He knows what goes on in your heart. He knows what goes on in the darkest times of your life and still today. And he is absolutely, unconditionally in love with you. And until you go into the Word of God and see that and go, why would he hang on a tree? Why would he get nailed? Why would he take my curse? Why would he die and go to hell? Because he absolutely loves you. And until you begin to believe this love, you will never know what real relationships are like. If you cannot wholeheartedly open your arms and say, have your way, God, I'm so in love with you, and expect and know that the only thing coming from God is good. The only thing God's going to bring into your life as a believer is good. But oh no, we have all these crazy doctrines of what he might allow, what he might do. In his sovereign will, he just understands deeper than you. And so what I found in my life as a young man is I couldn't trust God. In one message, this fear anchored itself into my heart. And I thought, well, if God is that way, then I can't trust him. I can't release all of my life to him. I found a prayer that Paul preached in Ephesians chapter 3 that absolutely changed my life. I want you to begin to pray it after this message, because it was the only hope I found that helped to transition this scared young man who would say, I love God, I know God loves me, but if I just let him have his way in my life, that way could be sickness, disease, death, dying, persecution. Well, we're all going to get persecution. There's a lot of things that the Bible says that Jesus took on the cross. Now, are you going to be persecuted? Of course you are. You already have been. It's a neighbor down the road, the person at work, oh, you're a Christian, and doing things because of your faith. I'm not talking about that. We know that storms of life come in here. We know that we're living on a world that has fallen, that the Bible says you build your foundation on the rock, Christ Jesus, and when the storm comes, that he is with you and you can't be shaken. God's not in the storm. God's with you in your house, in your family. You can't be shaken. And the storm doesn't make your house strong. The carpenter made your house, your life strong. So that when the storms of this life blow, and they will blow, sickness will push at you. Things will push at you. Financial, people. We live in a fallen world, and the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the enemy. Satan is the god of this world. And so we live here learning to use our faith to rise up in authority, but stop looking at God and believing, because you'll never be able to love him like you should be able to. This prayer now is in Ephesians 3. This prayer is incredible. The Apostle Paul recognized that the Jewish people that he was speaking to and all of the other Gentiles that he was speaking to, that their mindset of the gods that they served was one of, they're going to get you, they're going to get you, they're going to get you. And so here's what he prayed for them. In verse 16 of Ephesians 3, he says, he's praying that God would grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory, that you would be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself. Not just in some vague way, but indwelling your very innermost being and your personality. Did you know that love changes people's personalities? And when you are not grounded and believing in the love of God, your personality will take weird trips, weird quirks. You will feel things differently. You'll deal with stuff. We've got a world that has no idea how much they are loved. And so emotionally they're dealing with stresses and weirdnesses and expectations and judgments. And they're walking through life not knowing where to anchor their soul, not able to really establish their heart in the grace of God. And here he's saying that you can be, that your life, your personality, your emotional makeup, every other relationship is reinforced with mighty power because of God's love. In verse 17, it says, may Christ, through your faith, dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. If you can't believe that God loves you totally, completely, then you will never be able to believe anybody else can. If you don't completely, totally recognize the God of the universe is in love with me, if you can't trust Him to love you at a depth that is just phenomenal, if you can't trust Him, then you'll never be able to trust anyone else. And herein lies such a problem in relationships, is because when you can't trust, when you begin to doubt and you look at them and you judge them and all the things that go on, you destroy relationships, because what you believe, out of your beliefs come your actions. And we haven't got time to dive in and show you the steps that that takes. You're allowed to believe whatever you want, but at the end of this process of what you believe deeply is where all of your actions come from. And by the way, so do all of your emotions, all of your feelings, all of the things that are triggered that you don't understand going on the inside of you that cause such confusion in the world today. You've got to be rooted deep in God's love, founded securely in God's love. You would never take your 4 or 5 year old little boy or girl and give them to a person that's a friend of the family if you never know what they might do to teach them something. They might break a finger if he puts it outside the window. They might burn him with a match so he doesn't play. You're never going to entrust your child to somebody that would do things or allow things because it's just good for the child. We understand discipline, but that's not discipline. That is sick. We would lock people up for something like that, yet we believe that about God. And until you deal with these religious beliefs, those of you who've been raised in church, if you didn't have a church that taught you the love of God properly, then you got a bunch of junk to get out, and you're not going to get it out with this one message. It's going to require you to dive into the Word of God and begin to believe His love. Begin to look through the things that have been taught to you. Find them in the Word and remove them. And as you believe truth, truth comes into your heart and it pushes out crazy beliefs. Yet the world, especially the North American world, we have these complex beliefs. I want to say something here to you. I've never in my life seen more doctors of divinity and seminary graduates and everybody trying to find the highest level of training in the Christian Bible schools and seminaries of North America. Yet I've never seen in my lifetime such a lack of power, such a lack of the miraculous, such a lack of real, honest to goodness power of God in our churches. We think for some reason that all this deep, deep, deep knowledge, which is just the reasoning of the mind, has not produced the revival, the incredible moves of God that they thought it would. Oh, I love studying the Word. I study it all the time. But I more so want to simultaneously experience the love of God. Because if I'm not experiencing the love of God, then I'm going to be looking for it in all the wrong places. If I'm not experiencing and believing this love of God, then it's going to cause me to mess up every one of my relationships, even my kids as they grow up. And then my grandkids are going to be expected to love me in a way that after a while it gets sick. It's narcissistic. As you say, well, Grandpa needs that. We must find this love. And the Bible clearly says in this prayer that the way to find this love is through your faith. How do you get faith? The process of faith is diving into God's Word and planting it in your heart. Without the Word of God coming into the human heart, there is no crop. There is no 30, 60, and 100-fold. There is nothing growing on the inside of you. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven, and you can know and sense and see the kingdom. But if you're going to walk in that kingdom, you must dive into the Word of God and change all the crazy beliefs that you've grown up with, all the brokenhearted beliefs that have happened to you. And it's going to happen because you begin to believe. I, as a young man, made a step. I said, okay, God, I have to trust you. And it's been messages that I've heard that have scared me so deeply that if I trust you, that you're going to just take that as my okay to hurt me, to make me sick, to take loved ones from me, to wreck my life as you try to bash every bit of pride out of me and every bit of... And I was so fortunate to dive into His Word and begin to see that I can trust Him. It says here in this prayer that you may have the power, in verse 18, and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints of God, His devoted people, the experience of that love. One person told me, well, you know, come on, you're not going to experience God's love. We don't live by feelings, Leon. We live by the Word of God. Oh, I totally agree with that, because so many people's feelings are up and down because of their beliefs not being anchored in the Word. But the Bible's very clear that when you begin to believe the Word of God, you will experience His love. This believing the Word of God, believing what He did on the cross when He died for you, took your sin, went to hell in your place, took all the curse of the law in your place. And that John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I might come and give you life and you more abundantly. In every car in this parking lot, in every screen watching me wherever you are, is a deep desire that you've always longed for and wanted in your relationships. If you're struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with a pleasure that's taken over your life, you've got to understand something, that the love of God and feeling and knowing His love and loving Him back is the greatest level of experience that you could ever experience. And from that foundation, all of the wonderful pleasures God has put on this planet can be enjoyed in a way that is beautiful and in a way that won't destroy you and kill you and make you sick and hurt your relationships. The Word of God's very clear that you and I, we have the power, and we can be strong and apprehend, verse 18, and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. It goes on to say in verse 19 that you may really come to know practically, through experience, the Amplified says, the love of Christ, which passes mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being under the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a person, a body, wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. We must begin to dive into the Word and believe how loved you are. Begin to find every verse that I've given you here. Go find them yourselves and say, I love Him because He first loved me. For God so loved the world. He is in love with me. He's not mad at me. He's not angry at me. His Spirit is not sitting there and going through every one of my sins. He's saying, you are loved. You are loved. When you begin to understand God's love for you, the final two verses of that chapter say, He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ever ask or think. These dreams of what relationships could be like. These dreams of how much joy and excitement life could have. These dreams of being fulfilled and significant and rising up with a life that just thrives for you. It's not found in anybody else. Your husband can't give it to you. Your wife can't give it to you. Your pastor can't give it to you. You must find and believe this love. This love is found in knowing this Jesus Christ. I want you to know that you've got to become good at showing love. You can't just say, well, I don't want to love anybody. I can't love y'all because I haven't found God's love for me. No, the Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. It shows us what love looks like. And that even before we have arrived, whatever you feel that is, that you need to be growing in joy, in patience, and peace. Be kind to the people around you. Be good to them. Be patient with them. Be faithful to them. Be gentle around them. Develop self-control. When the presence of God begins to work on you and you dive into the Word, you become this person that is so attractive. You're never going to be perfect like Jesus, no. But you, the Bible says, and I, we can walk on this planet, and it says in Corinthians, as He is, so are we in this world. Today, if I could challenge you to do one thing, it would be, oh, you're using your faith for believing God for finances, believing God for healing, believing God for your relationships. You know what? I think sometimes we get this out of order. You need to go back to the most powerful foundation in the Bible, and you need to begin to believe and confess with your mouth and meditate on the fact that you are absolutely loved so deeply, and that this love will satisfy the deepest longing in your life. And then you have an ability to love those around you, and then you can see and know, because with God's love, you look at the good in people. When you don't have God's love, you find every flaw. And believe me, every person around you is flawed. Do you experience God's love? Do you go to bed at night and just say, God, I love you? Do you wake up in the morning with a smile on your face and just experience this beautiful, wonderful love? Because that's what you were designed to experience. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, so confident, so strong, flooded with the love of God. And as soon as they sinned there and the presence of God left their human spirit, the fear, the anxiety, the blaming that went on immediately as the man blamed the woman and the woman blamed the snake and all that went on. Listen to me. When God's love touches you, when you begin to believe in the love of God, this is when you are at your most stable. This is when, as a believer, you're going to be so full of this mighty power flooding you, this sense of love that you know. You begin to experience how loved you are. Now, every area of your life will begin to move in the right direction. But if you don't establish this one powerful belief, I can trust God. He loves me. I can trust Him. He'll never hurt me. I can trust Him. It's not Him allowing these things in the world. It's not Him allowing these things in. If He could, He could stop it. You'll learn that as you keep coming to Springs, where that fits properly. But you've got to trust Him. Who else are you going to trust? You trust in Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. What was it that made Him look up? It was seeing you experiencing the love of God as never before. To the toughest guy listening to me, you think you're all it and all that, and you don't need love. I'm not talking about love in this mamby-pamby, you know, which some guys look at in a feminine way. This love is where you get your value from. This love is where you get your significance from. This love is where you get your identity from. This love is everything about who you are deep on the inside and your ability to enjoy this world and to live on this world, even in the midst of all the enemy is doing and all the people around you. You can walk in a love that people will just, they'll want to know what you've got. And it's the goodness of God that leads people to repent. Where are they going to see the goodness of God? In you and in me. Father, I pray right now that every person listening to me in these cars and around the world, Father, in all these different ways, that, Father, they would wake up this hope that I can know the love of God. I can be so fulfilled, strong, anchored. Father, I pray that for every believer that's been listening to me, that, Father, they would choose now to dive into your word, to listen to this message over and over and over again until, Father, they begin to recognize I'm loved, I'm loved. And, Father, for those who don't know you who are listening, I pray right now they'd make a decision for you. If you're watching and you don't know if Jesus is your Lord, why don't you just right now just say to him, because he'll never violate your will, just say, Jesus, come into my life. I give you my heart. I'm going to follow you for the rest of my days. Teach me, show me, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, contact us. Get a hold of us. There's so many ways on our social medias, and you can go to info@springschurch.com and just let us know that you made a decision for Christ. We'd love to be able to talk with you, email with you, however we can, and just get you some stuff that'll get you on the right track so that this Jesus, this God, you won't get caught up in the religiosity that, because so many people hate religion, I do, but I want a real relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you, you can trust God. God will never hurt you. God will never do anything to you to just bring pain and heartache. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Praise the Lord.